This original story, written by William Rawson and edited by Sam Ward, represents three of the key ideas and themes featured in Northern Lights by Philip Pullman. These three themes are that of fantasy, having a completely different world with spectacular feats of magic and monsters, childhood innocence, not understanding how the world works, and suffering consequences as a result, and that of the soul, in both cases as a physical representation that protects its host. Footsteps echoed in the enormous underground caverns. Light feet, but with a hard sole. One could be mistaken into thinking it was the sound of hooves, but the chatter of people would have corrected that mistake. A small collection of voices, high-pitched by human standards, danced around the chambers. Long-forgotten rock formations quivered in the dark, sound waves rolling through them and stirring the few creatures that can survive in these cold, damp conditions. If the young humans were trying to be stealthy, they were failing. Four young boys stepped into the ring of stones before the leader signaled for a rest. Already they had woken up in the middle of the night, snuck out of the village, and climbed down into the ravine before walking until their legs grew tired. Needless to say, a small respite was deserved. The leader of their little group, Aquia, began to pull his silk pantaloons up as he sat down before realizing the action's futility. His clothes had become filthy and wet hours ago. He sat down on what he believed was a small rock, and let out the air that had collected in his body. He knew that his three companions were right next to him by their voices and their footsteps, but he couldn't see any of them.
"Anyone got a cinderbox?"
The noise echoed across the flat stone clearing.
"Oi, Aquia, summon your guardian. It makes light, doesn't it?"
A different voice this time.
"I'm not doing something as stupid as that,"
Aquia responded dully, knowing that the previous comment was a joke.
"And yet, surely you have something on you."
There was no verbal response, just a shuffling of fabric. Slowly, the light from Annette's air fuse began to reveal the disheveled group.
"Why didn't you do that before?"
the first voice asked. Aquia could now see that it belonged to Adwi.
"I only have one,"
Annette replied evenly. Aquia used the new light to look around. He couldn't see much else other than the clearing in which they were resting. No signs of life either. His stomach began to tremble as he anticipated the coming task. His friends, Adwi and Arret, the second voice, had decided all on their own to come to the most dangerous place on the horizon in the feeble hope that their summoner instinct would kick in. It was common knowledge that the best way to invoke your guardian, if you even had one, was to put yourself in mortal peril. Those two fools were so desperate to be a summoner that they would risk their lives in a ravine filled with monstrous creatures. Aquia couldn't let them die, but he knew that there was no stopping them. Instead, he decided that if he, the sole summoner in the village, went with them, they might be safer. In the likely event that neither of them possessed a guardian, Aquia was prepared to jump in and save them. At the very least, that's what he told himself. Bringing Annette along was also his idea. Annette wasn't a known summoner, but was by far the smartest child in the village and always had a plan, a backup plan, and a backup plan for the backup plan. Diving into a dark ravine full of ravenous monsters felt just a little less insane with Annette by his side. He could see Annette scanning the surrounding area with a keen eye and unmoving face. As Annette prepared his plan, Adwi and Arret were arguing over the last piece of food before Adwi stuffed it into his mouth, ending the conversation. Arret stood up stiffly and called to Aquia.
"Come on, let's find something big and scary so we can go home."
He appeared exhilarated. Aquia didn't respond. He merely looked at Annette in slight disbelief. He was fed up, and his face showed it.
"Fine,"
Arret continued.
"You stay here. I don't need you."
With that, he walked out of the flat clearing and further into the cave. Within moments, he was out of view of the other three. Aquia knew that he should go as well. He tried to rouse himself into action, but he was just too tired. Physically, mentally, and emotionally. Instead, he remained on his rock, head in hands, until he heard the scream. At once, all three boys were on their feet. Adwi ran off without a second thought, calling Arret's name.
"Wait, don't!"
Aquia shouted after him desperately. He looked to Annette for help and saw that he had already grabbed the air fuse and had pulled some ropes seemingly from nowhere.
"Guardian,"
Annette said simply. Aquia knew he was right. It was now or never. He closed his eyes in concentration. The world drowned away, slow, quiet. A calm pool of his consciousness spread evenly across his body. His heart beat faster and faster, louder and louder until the thumping enveloped the pool with vibrations. Ripples turned into waves. Waves turned into tsunamis that crashed endlessly in all directions, until they all simultaneously exploded over the top of his existence. He opened his eyes and looked at his guardian. It materialized in front of him as always, but faced away, looking towards the danger. It emitted a dull yellow glow that illuminated the space around it, allowing the two boys to see it. It stood almost three times as tall as Aquir and at least twice his width. It had two legs and two arms, like a human, but they were made from an impossibly shiny black material that resembled no rock or metal. The legs cocked backwards rather than forwards, but that didn't hinder its balance or stature. Its arms were thicker than tree trunks and were uniform cylinders with no joints. It had no hands and no need for them either, as its arms worked as body-crushing bludgeons. The torso blended seamlessly into its limbs despite being made of a completely different material, golden brown and porous in the way that trees are, yet Aquia knew that no material could cut it. There was no obvious head, just a slight deviation in the middle of the torso which contained one red eye, surrounded by the same shiny material as its extremities, like an iris surrounds a pupil. Aquia willed the guardian forward, his tiredness lost in adrenaline and concentration. It didn't take long to see what had happened. A wave of penetrating nausea struck Aquia. He wanted to look away, but his body wasn't obeying his will. A few paces in front of him, illuminated by his guardian, sat a hideous creature the size of a horse, with large tusks protruding from its mouth and webbed limbs that oozed some sort of liquid. It lay carelessly on the ground, using its long tongue to lap up a pool of red blood that had welled next to Arat's dead body from a large hole in his neck. A sickening second wave of nausea pushed into his gut as he realized that there were two pairs of legs on the ground, one attached to Arat and the other not attached to anything. The creature finally took notice of the newcomers and reared up on its four hind legs, baring its tusks threateningly. Aquia's anger overtook him as his guardian lunged forward and uppercut the beast with such ferocious power and speed that it was cleaved in two. Annet looked on with resignation, refusing to let his emotions invade his face lest he lose his clarity of mind. Not knowing what else to do, he placed a hand on Aquia's shoulder. Aquia's anger was replaced with a juddering concoction of grief and regret. He held his head in his hands and let out a violent sob. The dead boys in front of him were only 10 years old. His brain throttled himself with an unparalleled sense of failure that overpowered all of his other emotions. How could he tell their mothers? Annet cautiously glanced around, determined to remain calm to allow his friend a moment to grieve. He didn't notice any danger, but Aquia's guardian unsettled him. It was hard to tell because it had no face, but it seemed to Annet that it was still on high alert. Its single red eye was fixed on some unknown point in the distant dark, in the opposite direction of the clearing. The sound of sobbing was gradually overwhelmed by a low rumble, like a boulder moving down a hill. Aquia finally took notice and looked up with tear-stained eyes. The rumble was getting closer and louder. Much louder. Whatever was making the noise must have been gigantic. Aquia stood up, his resolve steeled.
"Go!"
he shouted at Annet, barely keeping his voice from cracking. Annet didn't have time to reply before Aquia pushed him in the direction of the clearing. Impulse took over. Annet's feet pounded on the hard rocks, little deviations and crevices making Annet's ankles scream. He bit down on the air fuse to free his hands and hiked up his flowing silk garment. The echoes from his hard-soled shoes told him he was in the flat stone clearing. At last, he stopped and turned around, straining his eyes for the light of the guardian. But there was no light, and the rumbling was getting louder again. He sprinted out of the clearing and towards the entrance of the ravine, every step forcing his whole body to ache. Anxiety spread across him, and his brain seemed to fall into an endless pit. Still, he sprinted on, hoping to find the rope and climb up the cliff face. It was lighter now. He knew he must have been getting closer, and yet the rumble now filled his ears. Light streamed in from a hole in the ceiling up ahead, and Annet involuntarily came to a stop. His body had given up. Panting and wheezing, he turned around and saw a dark shape lurking over him. It was long and winding, like an enormous worm, but legs lined each side of its body. Its front end lifted up high and light revealed no head, more like a hole with layers of teeth. Its mouth would have fit Aquia's guardian in it without having to stretch. easily. It descended upon the boy, and instantly he felt himself being ripped inside out as his consciousness burst into his surroundings. Another hulking figure had appeared in between him and the monster as Annette's knees buckled. A great flash of green light briefly lit up the entire cave, but was gone in almost an instant. The long-forgotten rock formation shuddered and swayed. Then everything was quiet. The monstrous worm had disintegrated in the stream of energy, and now lay as a long pile of ash littering the cave floor. The hulking figure had disappeared, and Annette was gone.